This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today right here on Phillies 24/7 Sports Radio 94 WIP Podcast. It is Francisco Rojas, and I have you for the next 20 minutes or so. And we have reached, more or less, the first month of baseball is over for the Philadelphia Phillies. You're 15-13. You played almost 30 games. Opening day was what? March 27th, I believe it was. Somewhere around there. And so it's been, again, more, you know, we're April 29th now, and the Phillies had an off day yesterday. So the Phillies have had more or less a month of baseball played to this point. And I pretty much want to do for about half the show today, I want to give you my thoughts and observations from the first month of this season so far for the Philadelphia Phillies. So that's what we're going to do today. My pros, cons, how I'm feeling about the team a month so far into this season. I got five of them for you. Five thoughts and observations. So stick around in just a minute. Get to that. We'll do latest MLB power rankings. According to The Athletic and MLB.com, where do the Phillies rank in both of these power rankings and their recently updated ones? We will give you a short series preview for the Washington Nationals series that starts tonight at 6:45. And then we'll do a little bit of injuries and transactions, get you updated on Brandon Marsh, Christopher Sanchez, and Ranger Suarez. Where do they stand currently? And then around Major League Baseball, rounded out by a tiny bit of this day in Phillies history. Okay, so thoughts and observations through the first about month or so of this 2025 season. So number one, and it's the glaring thing, and it's something that we've all been concerned about going into the season, was the offense. And I'm not going to lie, I know it's just the first month, but who cares? It has been something that we have seen since the end of 2023 against the Arizona Diamondbacks up until right now, through the postseason last year, early exit, to right now. I'm concerned about the streakiness of this offense still. I mean, how can you not be? How can you not be? Trey Turner has been streaky to start the year. He's been underwhelming. Even if he does get hot, we know how cold Trey gets. And I really like Trey Turner, especially when he's going hot. But when Trey goes cold, Alec Bohm has been really underwhelming to start the year. Even if Bomer does get hot, is Bohm going to go cold like he has to start the year? Nick Castellanos, while he had a good start for the most parts of the year and through the first month has had good numbers, even if you look at like his last seven games, have not been good. Castellanos has been a little underwhelming, you know, the last week or so. And we know how streaky Nick Castellanos can be. Brandon Marsh, who I hope that, obviously you do not wish injuries upon anybody, but if for anybody, I hope that, and we'll get you an injury update on Brandon Marsh. I hope that a reset for Brandon Marsh with this injury can be somewhat of a good thing for him. But even Brandon Marsh, there's just so much streakiness with this team, man. Bryce and Kyle Schwarber are the only ones I really feel good about on this offense. And JT, by the way, has also not had a good start to the year. Bryce and Schwarber are the really only ones I can feel like I can count on. Bryson Stott, now I have to see this through a full season, but Bryson Stott has really been good in the leadoff hole, and I'll get to that in a second as well. But the streakiness is really a concern, man. It really is a concern. And again, even if they do get, and I think they'll inevitably get hot. I'm pretty confident in that. But the streakiness is just really a concern. It really is. And we've seen it, you know, through the last like season and a half or so now with this team. The streakiness, when this team goes cold, this team gets really cold, and they don't seem like they know how to, you know, put together even halfway decent at bats to even get a couple runs across the board to try to win baseball games and help out the rotation and bullpen. So it's really a concern, the streakiness. That's number one thought observation from this year, or from the first month of the year so far, is the streakiness. Number two, actual positive thing coming out from this, from the thoughts from the offense, Bryson Stott in the leadoff spot. Keep him there. Keep him there right now. Now, am I totally convinced he should be the leadoff hitter so far this year? Not there yet. I need to see Bryson Stott continue to put up the numbers that he has put up to this point so far. By the way, numbers in the leadoff spot so far through about, what, 50-plus ABs? 304, 365, 464 slash line with an 829 OPS, a home run, and 9 RBI. I mean, the most important things I would say are the on-base percentage. Yes, the batting average too, but getting on base, the most important thing for Bryson Stott, because honestly, at best, Bryson Stott has been a league average guy when it comes to getting on base. And by the way, he can steal bases, which I think is important going along with being able to get on base for Stott being at the leadoff spot. But the most important thing for me with Stott is being able to get on base at an above average clip. And a 365 clip is an above average clip. So as long as Bryson Stott is getting on base out of the leadoff spot, I don't care about the other stuff. Yes, I love his ability to make contact more than others on this team and in the league in general. But the most important thing is getting on base, and he has been doing that at the leadoff spot. I was against it at first, but right now it's working. Now, maybe in another week he gets cold like the rest of the team, and I'm having different thoughts on this. But right now I'm cool with Bryson Stott being in the leadoff spot so far throughout what he's doing from the first batter in the order. So I like Bryson Stott at the leadoff spot. It feels weird. I do have a positive takeaway from the offense, as the offense is, again, has not been all that great to start the year. But yes, it is only month one of the season. Let's go to the rotation, a positive and a negative. Let's start with the positive. Jesus Luzardo has been incredible to start the year for the Philadelphia Phillies. Through six starts, 36 and a third innings pitched, an ERA under 2 at 1.73, 41 strikeouts, a 1.99 FIP. And for Luzardo, we were wondering what kind of Luzardo we were going to get coming off an injury. But in 2023, he had, you know, his best, you know, a breakout year as a major league starter, and we were wondering, you know, where he was going to fit in this rotation, and even after spring, the injury and even spring training was kind of iffy. But I mean, Lizardo has been unbelievable. He's been one of the best pitchers in the National League, no doubt about it. So Jesus Lizardo doing what he has done, being as good as he has been as a Philly to this point, has been super important for the Phillies, especially because let's get to my fourth takeaway slash observation from this season, which is I'm still nervous about what type of Aaron Nola we're going to get this season. And I know he's coming off a really positive outing against the Chicago Cubs, you know, his best start on the season, you know, went seven innings, only gave up one earned run. Like, definitely the best start of the season for Knowles. But at the same time, I mean, I just keep going back to look at Aaron Nola's career to this point. And I know I'm only going by ERA, but ERA is still important to me in my mind. And if you just look at his career, from even from like 2016 up until last year, it really is up and down, especially the last 4 to 5 years. I mean, you can go back to 2018, just up and down, up and down. 2021, 4.63 ERA. 2022, 3.25 ERA. 2023, 4.46. 2024, last year, 3.57, finishes 11th in Cy Young Award voting. It's just up and down this roller coaster. And while do I believe Nola is this type of pitcher this year where he's been at what, like a 5.4 ERA and has been bad overall? No, but is there a potential that we get a 2021-2023 Aaron Nola where he gets the 4.63 ERA, 4.46? Yeah, I do think there is that possibility that this is the Aaron Nola just based off track record, and it's not a track record off of 1 or 2 years. This is like his entire career. He's been an up and down guy, let's be real. And I know you're probably either on one side of it or the other with Aaron Nola. It feels like it's been like that his entire, probably since the COVID season or even 2019 with Knowles. But it seems like people are either on one, you know, either you think he's great or you think he's bad. Like, I don't know. I think Aaron Nola is a good pitcher, I think, at the end of the day. But I'm just nervous that we're going to get that type of Aaron Nola that we got in 2021 and 2023. And I don't know. But maybe at the end of the day, depending on how Sanchez, Lizardo, and Wheeler pitch, maybe it's not that big of a deal. And it depending on how Ranger looks when he comes back, maybe it's not that big of a deal at the end of the day. But I think right now the starting pitching is supposed to be the thing that we feel the most, you know, good about for this team. It's supposed to be the biggest strength, that, you know, depending on how we feel about the offense by the end of the year and whether they're going to be able to pick things up come postseason time. But The rotation is supposed to be the biggest strength, I think, of this team right now. And, you know, if Aaron Nola is not going great, then I don't know. It's a tiny bit of a concern. But, yeah, I'm just nervous about what type of Nola we're going to get this year. But who knows? Maybe it's not even that big of a deal with Aaron Nola. Maybe it's not. Maybe the rest of the rotation is going to just be really good. Maybe Tyler Walker's going to continue to be really good. I mean, overall, Walker's numbers have been good, even though he's kind of been up and down even himself. But we'll see. I mean, we're not expecting a lot from Tywin Walker. He's supposed to be a fill-in fifth or sixth guy and not be super-duper-duper important to the rotation, but we'll see. Last observation from the first month is, look, I'm not panicking about this bullpen. Not panicking. But I'm a little concerned still. And they're going to need depth come the trade deadline. I mean, it has not been a good start for the bullpen so far this year. 29th in ERA through the first month, and a big part of that would be Jordan Romano, would be Jose Ruiz, would be Orion Kerkering, unfortunately, even though Kerkering had a first good like 6 to 8 outings of the season. But they're going to need, even if Romano does pick things up, you know, Kerkering's still young. How much can you trust Kerkering throughout the season? They're going to need 110%. They're going to need a trustworthy back end piece for this bullpen. And they're going to need even someone for the front end, because Joe Ross has been kind of all over the place. Jose Ruiz has been all over the place. Jose Ruiz has not been good. Carlos Hernandez has not been good. So they're going to need at least two or three pieces, 100% come deadline. So bullpen, I'm not panicking, but I am concerned, and they're going to need, that's going to be probably their biggest need come the deadline. That's going to be it. So not panicking on the bullpen, but they're going to need depth at the trade deadline. So those are my thoughts and observations from the first month of the year. I'm really curious to know where you fall on some of these points that I've hit on for my takeaways for the first month of the year. And you can tweet me and let me know anything that you're feeling, anything that I haven't mentioned. I'm curious to what you might think, anything that you would like to mention as far as thoughts and observations from the first month. You could tweet me at @Rojas_media_. Okay, the Phillies. As far as MLB power rankings go, and I have two of the latest ones for you. One's from MLB.com and one's from The Athletic. So in The Athletic, which is the most recent one, which I think was from this morning, they are ranked 9th in The Athletic's latest power rankings, previously 6th. So that's not the biggest jump. And then in MLB.com right now, they are ranked 13th in MLB.com's latest power rankings, where they were previously 5th. So a big jump there in the latest power rankings. And both of these power rankings, guess who they have at first? The New York Mets. So the Mets are number one right now. And Mets have been they've been one of the best teams in baseball to start the year. And I don't expect this to keep up. I just don't really trust their pitching all that much. But we'll see. But that's where the Phillies fall. That's where the Mets fall right now in these power rankings. So, all right, 3-game set now versus the Washington Nationals. This taking 2 of 3 to the Chicago Cubs. Cubs have been really good to start the season as well, you know, along with the Mets. But 3-game set versus the Nats. Nationals 13-16 on the year. They currently rank a couple of spots behind the Phils in the National League East, coming in at 4th. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. Offense currently ranked 15th in runs scored, just one behind the Phils. Start, and this is in all of MLB, not just the National League. Starting pitching, 13th in ERA in Major League Baseball, and their bullpen, just as bad as the Phillies' bullpen. Actually, a little worse. 30th in ERA, where the Phillies are ranked 29th in ERA. As far as their bullpen goes, Nationals 30th in ERA. So there you have it as far as their rankings go. So the series starts tonight at 6:45. We're going to get Mackenzie Gore versus Zach Wheeler. Gore, last time the Phillies faced him, 13 strikeouts, was not a good day for the Phils as far as the whiffs go, but they still ended up winning the game. But going to have to face Gore again. It's going to be Zach Wheeler on the mound for the Phils. Tomorrow at 6:45, it will be Jake Irvin versus Christopher Sanchez. Now, that is TBD, though. It's kind of TBD. They haven't announced it, I think, necessarily yet, but FanGraphs has Christopher Sanchez in to face Jake Irvin. So that's not like anything concrete, but Christopher Sanchez's start was pushed back a day or pushed back a little bit. So FanGraphs has Sanchez taking the mound, but that's TBD still. And then Tywin Walker versus Brad Lord Thursday at 6:45 to round out the series. But we're not sure even then if Taiwan's going to make that start. So we'll see the rest of the series, but that's what Fangraphs has it as. Now, my players to watch for this series. So Nationals, 100% Mackenzie Gore, just because I want to see this offense kind of get back in the swing of things, and it's going to be tough going against a guy that struck out 13 of your guys. Even in a day, you struck out 19 times overall, but 13 of those came from Mackenzie Gore. And Gore had 13 strikeouts again a couple of starts ago against Colorado. So Gore, again, was one of my breakout picks for the year as far as starting pitchers go. And Gore has been pretty good to start the year. He's had a few rocky starts here and there, but been generally good for the Nats. So Gore is my player to watch for the Phils. Christopher Sanchez is my player to watch. And that, again, is TBD a little bit. Put an asterisk there because we don't know exactly when Christopher Sanchez is going to pitch. Again, Fangraphs having him their starter for the second game of the series. And he's my player to watch because, you know, coming off the start where he left early against the New York Mets, hopefully Sanchez has a good outing and is feeling okay and he's feeling good, because that would not be great if Christopher Sanchez would come out of another start hurt, because left arm soreness, hopefully it's forearm soreness, excuse me, not something we really want to hear about, especially in today's age of pitchers. But yeah, so Christopher Sanchez is my player to watch for the Phillies. Injuries and transactions. Brandon Marsh, who had the right hamstring strain, you know, a couple of weeks back now, right, exited his fourth rehab game on Sunday with Lehigh Valley due to a cramp in his right hamstring. He was supposed to be reevaluated yesterday. I think we're getting an update on a couple of these injuries from Rob Thompson probably sometime today in Philadelphia. But not good as a cramp in that right hamstring for Brandon Marsh, where he had the right hamstring strain within the last couple of weeks. So not great to hear. Christopher Sanchez pretty much said what I said about Sanchez, but he did throw a bullpen session on Sunday. Rob Thompson said he heard he felt great. Next start was supposed to be determined yesterday, but again, we don't know yet. And then Ranger Suarez, who has had the lower back stiffness, IL dates dating back to March 24th, expected a return early next month. He did throw 78 pitches and went 4 2/3 innings in his fourth rehab start a couple of days ago with AAA Lehigh Valley. It's TBD if he will make another rehab start or join the Phillies rotation soon. So we'll have an update for you up on that in Phillies today within, you know, days, weeks, whatever it might be for Ranger Suarez. So we will keep an eye on that. Okay, how about a little bit of this day in Phillies history to close out the show on April 29th, this day in April 29th, 1963. Art Mahaffey, I think that's how you say his name. Looked a little bit of the longer time Phillies fans could probably let me know there. He became the first Philly to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated way back in 1963 on this day. 1981. Steve Carlton struck out Montreal's Tim Wallach to become the first left-hander and sixth pitcher overall to record 3,000 strikeouts. 2011, Ryan Howard had two homers and six RBI in a 10-3 win over the Mets, giving him 27 RBI for the month, a new team record for April. In the same game, Placido Polanco recorded his 39th hit of the month, breaking the team record for April set by Chase Utley in 2008. Thank you in 2008. Thank you to Phillies.com for the injury updates. Thank you to BroadandPatterson.com for the info on this day in Phillies history. So that will do it for me, Francisco Rojas. I'll talk to you guys soon. I'll be back on my normal day. Buzz had yesterday. I'll be back on my normal day on Thursday to talk about more of this series against the Nats and maybe recap a couple of the days for for tonight and Wednesday for Phillies Today. But make sure you stay tuned for Justin Morgenstein, Cal Forsini, Buzz Wilson, who all do a great job on the channel. And I'll talk to you guys soon.